Now, film and frocks, film and fashion, there is a conversation between these two things, influences, synergies. This year at the Melbourne International Film Festival, creative director Michelle Carey, now she has assembled a fashionable grab bag, iconic fashion films, not necessarily films about fashion, but we will explain. Now, many of her selections here have launched styles and style stars, have left their imprint on fashion and fashion trends long after the film itself has faded to black. One fashion documentary screening at the festival is Yellow is Forbidden. Now, it's a film from Petra Brett Kelly. It gives viewers a behind-the-scene look at Chinese fashion designer Guo Pei, who was first thrust into the spotlight when pop star Rihanna wore one of her dresses at the Met Gala in 2015. People who may have gone to the NGV's triennial will have seen a sumptuous collection of her designs in that exhibition. Michelle and Petra join me, and we're going to talk the timeless, the beautiful, the iconic when it comes to films and fashion. Michelle, just to begin, a favourite film frock moment for you?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if it's actually quite a frock, but one of my favourite films is a 70s film from France called Celine and Julie Go Boating, mm-hmm. and it just has the most awesome 70s fashion in it. So for me, it's not always about the most sumptuous, amazing, elegant frock, but just sort of how a film can capture a particular time through the use of dress and fashion.
And such an important thing in capturing a moment. I mean, that's a fundamental thing for a filmmaker if you're talking about a period, what the people wear.
Absolutely. I mean, there's all the iconic dresses and fashion that we know about, but the thing I do love about film is it's a real window into that era, you know, and how people dressed. And you can look at a still photo.
It can be heightened a bit in film too, can it not? I mean, yeah. it's somewhat exaggerated to really put you in that place.
Well, how the personality of the person sort of is reflected through their dress. And that's why I love a film like The Women, which is in our program, which is from the late 30s, and just those incredible sassy dresses, and you know, there's amazing women, those actresses, Rosalind Russell, etc., and their sassiness. So.
Petra, Yellow is Forbidden. That is a rather evocative title.
Yeah.
Explain that for us.
Yeah, I always love to find a title for my films within the film itself. And it's a story that when Guo Pei was 8, she asked her grandmother, who basically brought her up, she wanted a yellow dress. And her grandmother said, no, 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 and got very angry and said, yellow is forbidden. And so yellow was only considered to be for royalty, for the court.
Challenge yeah. accepted, she said.
She said, yeah. And kind of funny in the scene in the film, because her mother, who unfortunately is blind, is sitting beside her and saying, yes, you know, you should never wear yellow. And Guo Pei's sort of sitting there with the smile on her face thinking, wow, if mum could see my collections.
Her collections, for those who don't know, are luminously
very much
golden.
Yes, yes. She loves to play with gold. You know, it's all about the royalty and breaking down those barriers and thinking that anybody should be entitled to wear it.
How did Guo Pei appear on your radar? How did you become aware of her work?
So I'd just finished my previous film where I spent 2.5 years in Afghanistan. So I thought, oh, well, I'll go somewhere quite different. And I'd heard about Guo Pei years ago, but I just Googled her name and the Rihanna thing had just happened. Rihanna mm-hmm. had just worn her now infamous yellow cape on the Met Gala red carpet. And Guo Pei said in the story I read, I didn't know who Rihanna was. And all my films were about isolation, so that intrigued me. So I got on the phone and 3 days later I was filming.
And Michelle, for your collection in this festival, it's an obvious contender.
Oh, really so. So the program is a combination of retrospective films that feature amazing fashion in it and also a select number of fashion documentaries, for want of a better word. And I should say Petra's documentary is fascinating, like beyond fashion. It sort of really tells a modern story, I think, about, you know, the cultures East and West. So obviously this is about dress and how the body is clothed, and Yellow's Forbidden is particularly fascinating because these dresses I don't think would be that comfortable to wear.
No, they're not.
They're not day wear.
No, they're not. And, you know, Guo Pei laughs in the film that there's one dress that's 50 kg and the cape that Rihanna wore was 27 kg. And so, yeah. It's not ready to wear easy leap around kind of clothing.
Which is distinct, as you were saying before, Michelle, some of the other films where we're talking about fashion, it's very much the everyday, the day-to-day that makes it stand out.
Yeah, and I'm always so interested in body language, how the body moves when it's clothed a particular way.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I mean, these films like The Runways, when these women are wearing these
50
dresses.
50 kilos of...
you can sort of see there's this veneer of grace and elegance, but there's like this fear in the eyes of the models, like, oh God, I really hope I don't keel over and not be able to get back up again.
What in a film ticks it over the precipice into being a film that has a fashion element? What are you looking for? Criteria.
I think it's about the image. You think about Marlene Dietrich in a tuxedo, which is in one of our films called Morocco. That is just such an iconic image. People would know that image before they know the film.
Iconic gets thrown around a bit.
It does. It's an overused word, but, you know, I think...
In that instance.
Absolutely. It's an image that sort of goes out into historiography.
Everyone's seen that, I think, but just trigger our memories. Describe her in that film, in that scene.
That scene. So Marlene Dietrich in her tuxedo, she plays a young singer stationed in Morocco, and this is sort of the first image we have of her. She comes out, she's got a cigarette in her top hat, and she's readying herself in her tuxedo, and just an incredible spellbinding performance. She sings a song. She very famously kisses a woman in her tuxedo.
And I think thus, that's as decades of queer culture is defined.
Absolutely, since 1930. And then the film goes on, and she wears all sorts of number of dresses throughout it. And the other dresses are really incredible as well, but very different to this iconic opening.
And the pants in the opening had a real legacy in retail, in the inspiration
absolutely
of designers
people
subsequently.
Had never seen a Hollywood icon dressed in pants like this before, and it actually influenced department stores in the US particularly. Were all of a sudden inundated with requests for pants. So, you know, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, women started wearing pants.
I'm not sure, Petra, that Guapé does pants.
No, she doesn't do pants. No, she doesn't. she doesn't actually do clothes. You can't go into a store and buy her clothes. And in the film, you see her with clients who pay up to $1 million a year to be a client, and it's like a credit note and you mark off it. But it doesn't take you long to spend $1 million, I've got to say.
Is it the approach to making a fashion documentary? I guess you've got another character in that, do you not, which is the frocks?
Absolutely. You know, when I met her, because I literally 3 days later started filming, and I thought I had, as you say, this beautiful palette to work with. But for me, because I'm not particularly interested in fashion, I'm interested in people, it was on our first day of filming when Guapé picked up a kaleidoscope, and she said this, looking in, she collects kaleidoscopes and teddy bears, and she looked in and she said, yeah, and she said, this is my happy place. And for me, that was sort of a light bulb moment to sort of work visually with the whole refraction idea. So I bought a chandelier and then pulled it apart. The seller was just horrified I was going to do that. But anyway, and I had pieces of the glass in my backpack. And when I wanted to, I'd pull them out, and the DP and I, we would play with them. And so we shot scenes to give that refraction and to sort of remind the viewer about this genius mind and how all these influences were coming in and out was coming this amazing artworks, really, which is what her designs really are.
DP is movie talk.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, cinematographer.
Yes. Person with the camera.
Yeah. Because it's just he and I and our crew. We don't have translators or fixers or sound or anything.
Which is a nice thing in a lot of documentary work, that it's travelling light, it's nimble.
Absolutely. Gosh, because I've also worked in a lot of conflict zones, and so we have to be able to get up and move. But for him and I, it's like you become really embedded, and hopefully the subjects forget about us and we get much more access. And, you know, right. I mean, when I got stuff translated...
That thing of forgetting is...
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, you know, I'm twice as big as Guapé and white and quite different looking. But, you know, it's really interesting. The scenes, when I get them translated, she really does forget about us. But mind you, we shot 300 hours of footage. That's a long time to kind of try to be performing.
A small sample of which is prepared for the Melbourne Film Festival in Yellow is Forbidden. That Michelle Yellow is Forbidden clearly is an interesting element in the program. Some other fashion-y highlights?
So I mentioned the documentaries. There's also a documentary on Alexander McQueen, the sadly late Alexander McQueen, who had a very tragic, complicated life. So this is a film not only about the fashion, but also the man behind the fashion.
Yep.
And then some of our retrospective films, we have Funny Face with the great Audrey Hepburn screening. The Women I mentioned, a great all-women cast written by Anita Loos. And then for something a bit different, we have a hip-hop, an early hip-hop film called Wild Style, which looks at romance in the streets of New York in the early 80s, but also has some awesome street fashion.
It's interesting. You mentioned Funny Face and Hepburn and that thing of a film that has a strong fashion element. They really incline themselves into becoming cultish, don't they? There's something about that social package which is really compelling.
The thing I really love about this film and another film in the program, Who Are You, Polly Magoo, is it's quite irreverent towards fashion. Sort of lightly satirizes the fashion industry and sort of about this young bookish woman who goes to Paris and just blossoms as a beautiful model. But it's really done with a tongue in cheek.
Petra, do you have a fashion film favourite moment?
Oh, I've got to say the McQueen film, people should go to that. That is just phenomenal, I think. An extraordinary film, made me cry. But no, I've got to say, but I really am a bit rubbish about fashion. And possibly that's why Gualpe revealed so much, as I ask these really naive, ridiculous questions.
Is that a good thing?
Or, I mean, to go into something
like that, into a world with no preconceptions?
Absolutely. I mean, it got me the first interview with Colonel Gaddafi. You know, it's got me to places because they just go, oh, forget about her. She doesn't know what she's doing. And she's only from New Zealand, so who cares? You know, so
your life is a blithe and only dimly comprehending spirit.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, it gets me access, that's for sure, that naivety.
Any of these, Michelle, surprise you when you sort of had, you know, took a new sort of curatorial interest in them? Did anything sort of come up and go, oh, I hadn't seen that before?
There's a documentary on a figure called Antonio Lopez, who was an illustrator for Interview magazine and a number of fashion magazines in the 60s and 70s. And I didn't know his work. That was sort of a real, using him as a prism onto the New York scene of the late 60s and 70s. He was pansexual immigrant, came to New York, and just such a wonderful story of his rise and his absolute dedication to illustration and fashion illustration.
I mean, fashion as a guiding principle for a creative festival, it is so rich because it has so much in it. It's people, it's gender, it's sexuality,
it's society. You know, so popular. I mean, the fashion documentary really, and I think, you know, films like Yellow is Forbidden and McQueen are so much more than a fashion documentary, but as a subgenre, if we want to call that, they're incredibly popular with audiences. People can't get enough.
There you go. Melbourne International Film Festival. The details, if you're passing, is at miff.com.au. The full programming is there, all you need for a feed. Some of the films will, of course, travel around the country subsequently, so do not despair. Yellow is Forbidden is one we've been talking about, and it's made by Petra Brett Kelly. She has joined us.
Thank you.
As has Michelle Carey, the director of the festival. Thank you both.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Blueprint here on RN.